Lord, we thank you. We thank you for a presence that strengthens us, fills us up, imbues us with peace, forgives us, renews us, restores us, brings us close to one another, gives us a fresh perspective on the mission you have for us, allows us to love those around us, reminds us of Jesus, reminds us of his return. God, we thank you that your love and your presence is what we were made for. Since the beginning of the earth, you have been speaking, you have been drawing us close. This is the most natural place that we could ever imagine is with you. This is what we're made for. Allow us not to get uncomfortable. Allow us to not think of or wish we were some other place. Allow our minds to lock in to not just what you're saying, but what you're doing. Jesus, we ask that tonight would be a night where we encounter the presence of God through prayer, that we just wouldn't speak to you, but we would hear from you. Allow our hearts to be transformed as we draw close to you. Thank you that your word says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find help in time of need. God, allow the gift of prayer, the seed of prayer, to go down deep in our own hearts tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. What's up? You look fantastic. Tonight, can we give it up for our worship team? All the rest of them that rolled out so perfectly. Again, I'm Corey Bendix. I'm the next generation pastor here. So glad that you're here. Thank you for so faithfully being here each week. We're going to do something a bit different. This is our week of prayer and consecration. And so what I'm going to do for about 20 minutes is I'm just going to fuel our faith when it comes to prayer, and then we're going to actually pray. We're going to pray individually. We're going to pray as a crew, groups. We're going to really believe for the Spirit of God to transform us and use our prayers, our these moments of faith to do the supernatural. So that's the game plan. How many of you guys happen to be like bike fans? Not like the motorcycle, but actually like bikes. Does anybody like actually get on a bike? Yeah, I'm an occasional biker as well. There's a company a Dutch bicycle company. It's called Van Moof Bicycles, and it's a really unique organization. And here recently, they have really exploded. They had a desire to sell 90% of their bicycles online. But what they found is that as they put these bicycles in boxes, they were getting more and more and more and more bicycles returned because they weren't being handled with care. So this is what they did. It was really fascinating. What they did is they decided to put these bicycles in a really huge box, and then they put a picture of a flat screen TV with an image of a bike. Brilliant move. And what happened is that it reduced the rate of damaged goods by over 90%. And this is what they concluded. When people value what's in a box, we treat the box with greater care. Let me say that again. When we value what's in the box, so people, whoever was transporting these boxes thought it was a 72-inch flat-screen TV, and so the result was you're going to handle that bad boy with some care, right? So when you value what's in the box, we treat the box with greater care. And so often I find with my own life is that often I mistreat this box of prayer. I mistreat it because I don't really value what's inside. Often, at least for me, you bring up the word prayer and you automatically go to a place of either guilt or shame, where you don't pray enough, or the prayers you do pray are self-centered and you feel bad about it. I feel bad about it. And so, like, this whole idea of prayer often is something we don't value because we don't really know what's inside the box. So tonight, I want to answer three specific questions. What is God's disposition towards you and I? What should our approach be when it comes to prayer? And what is the purpose and even the result of the prayers we're going to pray tonight? What is God's his disposition towards you and I? What should our approach be in prayer? And what is the result? What is the ultimate purpose and result of prayer? I saw this. There's a quote I saw by a guy by the name of John Piper, who wrote a book many years ago called Let the Nations Be Glad. And this is what he said about prayer. Prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. And prayer is the turning away from ourselves to God in the confidence that he will provide what we need. Prayer humbles us as needy and exalts God as all sufficient. So what is God's disposition towards you and I? What's his, the way in which he presents his nature, his character towards you and I? Before we go to him, how is he approaching us? What should we expect? And what I think for many of us, when we think about prayer, the first thing at least I ask is, can God even hear? I mean, there's like a world that's up in, there's so much going on in the world, so much chaos that's occurring. And then there's over 8 billion people. Like, can God actually hear? Like, do we have a God that's available? Or do we have a God that is deistic? He's like stuck in a corner and is disconnected from the creation in which he had ultimately made. Like, is God available? But not just is God available, but like, does God want to actually hear our voice? And I love the answer to those two questions in this one specific line. When it comes to prayer, it's not a technical lock that we have to figure out how to open. Prayer is not a technical lock that we have to figure out how to open. We have a God who can hear and actually wants to draw close to you and I to make this a relational interaction where we receive his heart. It actually develops us and it extends God's glory to the world that he loves. It's not a lock that we have to like work to try to open. It's that when it comes to prayer, we have a God who's asking us, he's inviting us to come close. This is what I mean. Is that in Matthew chapter 6, this is the way that God describes himself. He says, when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, this is what he says in verse 8. Do not be like them, the Pharisees, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Instantly, everything is defined, and now we have a very clear picture of who God is and how we should approach him. He says that this God isn't just a deity. He's actually a father. A father who knows what you need before you ask. And he goes on, and this is what he says. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. When I was a kid, my dad was a minister. He was a pastor. And I loved one of the things I enjoyed more than anything is cutting in front of people to get to my dad. I would go to his office, and there would usually be about 2 or 3 or 4 people kind of waiting in line to get to my dad. He had an office line. I would come in, and it was so cool to be able to skip everyone and go right. I had an open door policy with Pops. He told me, whenever you come into my office, you skip everybody else and you come directly to me. Because you have access to me whenever you need it. That picture, that moment, that experience for me, it defined the way I don't just see my dad, but I ultimately see God. Like, this is the beauty of the accessibility that we have and ultimately the confidence that we have when it comes to the God that we serve. He actually is inviting us to draw near. Let me prove it. There's a handful of verses. I'm going to go through them because I don't want you to just trust me and my stories. I want you to actually read or take, I mean, you might even want to like take some pictures of the slides that I put up. Psalms 34:17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. You might be asking, well, Corey, I don't feel righteous. Does not matter how you feel. This verse is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that because of his righteousness, now you and I are declared righteous.
instantly, in a moment, in the receptivity of Jesus as our sacrifice, there's this exchange, a beautiful exchange, his heart for our heart, and then we have right relationship with God. We can call him Father. So now what this says is when the righteous cry for help, when you cry for help, when you open up your mouth, we have now access to our Father, and he promises to be like my dad saying, you know what? I don't want you just to come to me. I'm going to actually come to you. This is the beauty of our relationship with Father God. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Psalms 18:6. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Now, before you put that on a coffee cup, let's just consider the context here. Like, the people of Israel have been sent into exile. God lovingly and graciously sent them into exile because their heart was hard. They were rebellious people. And what Jeremiah is prophesying is that you're going to come to a point where you're so broken, where you're hurting so much that you're going to humble yourself and you're going to cry out. And as soon as you do that, I am a God who's going to listen to you and I'm going to come to you. It's the hope that we have, where we have a God who's not just coming to us when all is right or when we have a good day or when we feel good about ourselves or when we feel like we're holy. We have a God who, even when we're at our most broken places, we have a God who is waiting to come to us, who wants to make himself accessible. Let me keep going. Call to me. This is Jeremiah 33:3. I don't even know if it's up there. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. James 4:2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because what? You do not ask. Again, we have a God who's constantly challenging us to just open up our mouth and ask him. Ask him for not just what we want, but the more we spend time with our God, the more we realize what he wants. This is the beauty of our relationship with God through prayer. This is one of the most scandalous verses I think we've got. It says this. It says Matthew 11, 28. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, have you ever had a friend where you say, I've got an ice cream cake, and they go, well, I'm lactose intolerant. Or you go, hey, let's go to Brazil for a vacation, and they go, Zika virus. Like everything that you say, there's always an excuse why they can't participate, right? There's always pushback. There's something in them that just doesn't really want to go all the way in. Those types of people, we find ways to like step back or like push away or sidestep. And yet what we have is even when we are that person, like when we are heavy laden, burdened, worn down, overwhelmed, we have a God who doesn't push us away. He says, no, I want to make myself available to you. Even when you're constantly resisting, I'm here. This is the beautiful relationship that we have with our God. This is what it looks like to have an understanding of God's disposition towards us as a father. So what does that do when it comes to the way that we now approach prayer? How does this affect how we approach prayer? I'm telling you, I'm going to fly through this. So I hope you take some notes because you think you're going to like this. So Colossians 4:12 says this. Now, I know that I think for most of us, when we think about God being a father, at least for me, I'm being honest, you would assume that the approach that we're supposed to have is one that's a little bit more lackadaisical, a little bit more soft, right? Or easygoing, relaxed. And yet, it's almost like a conundrum. It's a beautiful contrast. You have this God who's so accessible, but in his access, this is how we're supposed to approach him. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Now that word, it's a Greek word that we get the word agonize. And it actually means to carry on a conflict or a contest. So how Epaphras sets an example for how you and I actually approach prayer is not lackadaisical, lazy, but we wrestle. Not like we wrestle in prayer. Now, I used to wrestle in high school. I understand the wrestling culture. Like when you are on that mat, it's 6 minutes of nonstop chaos. And you're just trying, I wasn't that good at wrestling, so my goal was just to survive, right? I mean, I'm not trying to win. I'm just trying to stay off my back and just not make a fool of myself, at least the first few years. But it's 6 minutes where you are doing everything you can to go from one move to the other, to the other. And then you get in this mentality where I'm going to take it to this guy. Like, I got purpose. I mean, I remember there was one specific moment where I was a senior and I had dislocated my shoulder and my nose was bleeding like constantly. My septum, I just was bad. And yet even in all of the discomfort, you're a wrestler, which means you keep going. Now, what I love about this verse is that we don't wrestle for ourselves. Now, notice the verse. He said, he's always wrestling in prayer for what? For you, which means he's doing it for someone else. See, now the approach that we have in prayer, now that we have a God who's accessible, what that does is it enables you and I to have confident access, like we're confident in our God, and it enables us to stay in the fight. Like this prayer isn't just something that we do to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. This is actually like fighting language. This is war language. This is, now we realize that this is a battle. Like we are fighting for our country. We're fighting for our family. We're fighting for our husband, our wife. We're fighting for our kids' future spouses. Like we're fighting and we will not stop. And we have access to a God who's going to help us, who's going to provide for us. Like this becomes, prayer isn't just something we just kind of go like float from one prayer to the other. No, there's purpose. There's direction. There's authenticity in your soul of what you're struggling with, but there's the ability to keep going. There's a spiritual power that allows you to continue to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle, not just for your own needs, but for the needs of those around us. Here's another verse. This is Romans 15, verse 30. Same word. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive with who? Together. To strive together. That's what we're going to do tonight in just a few minutes. We're going to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Again, it's not lazy, it's not complacent, it's not entitled. You're ready for a fight, you're confident, and you're resilient. My grandpa was in World War II. One of the things that he did was he helped as a radio man. And what that meant is that in the midst of battle, he had constant access to like home base, the ground control, to the commanders that had access to all of the power that he needed to give him the support, the people, as well as the ammunition. So at any point, he would call on that radio and he would instantly have access to allow him to keep going. The radio was all about his mission. And when we think about prayer, when I think about prayer, what we should begin to consider is that prayer is like a wartime radio that gives us access to our God to enable you to fulfill the mission he's called you to fulfill. Like this is the beauty of our relationship with God, that we are in the midst of a struggle, and for some of us, we don't even know what to do, and that's fine. That's absolutely okay. That now our next step is to go, God, help me open up my eyes to the realization that I'm in a battle. But here's the facts, though, is that we have a God who you have access to in the midst of the fight that you have. But see, here's another perspective that some of us have, is that prayer isn't a wartime walkie-talkie, but it's actually something else. It's an intercom within your home. Now, an intercom, what that does is usually, and I did this
back in my grandparents' house back in the day when intercoms actually existed. Now we just have cell phones where kids call their parents in the house. Hey, I need some more Doritos, you know? Like what an intercom does in a house is it lets somebody else know in the house, I need you to bring something to me because I want to become more comfortable. Like the whole point of an intercom is comfort. It's making life easier for us within the context of a home. It's not about a mission. It's not about a battle to fight. It's about my comfort. And what I love about what this way in which we can as a church begin to consider prayer is that what prayer does, God promises to give you what you need, not to make your life more comfortable, but to allow you to complete the mission that he's called for you and for us to actually accomplish. That's what this is about. It's the beauty of what we're gonna do. We're gonna ask for God, yes, to supply our needs, to bring health and life to our body, to bring wholeness to our kids, but so that God may use that to do something supernatural in the world that we live in, not just for our own personal needs. So what is the purpose of prayer? What's all this about? John chapter 16, 24 says this. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. What's the purpose of prayer? For your joy in God to be complete. Like when you pray, when you continue to ask God, I want to know what you want me to ask for. It's like going to a restaurant. I mean, I've got a chance to take my kids to a restaurant, and it's a nicer one. And what do? They ask for chicken nuggets. And you're like, hold on. It's not on the menu. Ask for whatever you want on the menu. They'll hook it up. But when you try to go off the menu, as much as you want it, you're not going to get it. And what I love about what this verse is saying is that the more we get to know God, the more we actually realize what's on the menu. Like we know what's on the menu of God's heart. We know what's on the menu of what his purpose for us through the scriptures. And what that does, it gives us the freedom and the power and the confidence to ask for what's on that menu. Ask in confidence. I'm telling you, as you begin to ask God, as you begin to draw close to himself, as you begin to find yourself longing for not just him to do something for you, but you're longing for his heart. I'm telling you, your joy will be made complete. Even when you don't have what you need or what you want, yet there's a joy. There's a joy in you that, man, no one can take away. That as you continue to navigate this beauty of prayer with resilience, with confidence, with power, with boldness, drawing close to your Father, but then using prayer as something that now enables you to complete the mission, man, you find you have a greater joy to give of your resources, to give of your time, that now there's a joy that allows for you to be satisfied even when, man, everything around you is kind of falling apart. This is one of the results of prayer, is that your joy will be made complete. But not just that, final verse, I promise. Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation. Now in the Greek, there's no sentences, there's no periods here. I'm sorry, there's no periods. It's all a run-on sentence, okay? So take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Most of the translations have period. There is no period. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. What's he saying? He's saying the purpose of prayer is so that you can wield the word to pray. You actually take that word, the word that's in your hand, like the Bible, and the purpose of prayer is to begin to pray that book, to pray it constantly, to get it inside of you, to begin to memorize it. And you see, the amazing thing about the helmet of salvation, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit is it leads us to the word of God. It all centers around the word of God. And then what's the purpose of prayer? To begin to take that book, open it up and go, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I proclaim this over my kids. I proclaim this over my job. I proclaim this over my resources, my home. God, you're going to protect my stuff because of this verse. And we take the word, we open it up, and we allow the word to do the work.
And when it begins to do the work, all of a sudden your joy is made complete and you have a new passion for prayer. This is what it's all about. I love this last quote. Actually, two quotes. That prayer is the instrument to release the power of the gospel. Prayer, and what we're going to do tonight, we're going to pray for church plants. We're going to pray for missions opportunities. We're going to pray for a city. Prayer is the instrument that God uses to release the power of the gospel. That the gospel has ultimate power. It begins to explode and do its work in the city, at certain high schools, because of what we're going to do in prayer. But prayer is God's, you can go to this last one. Prayer is God's appointed means of bringing grace to us and glory to himself. Love that. Prayer is God's appointed means of bringing grace to us and glory to himself. I'm believing that tonight, I'm done. For the next 15 to 20 minutes, we're going to ask for God's grace to be delivered to us through prayer. And that God would begin to open up new avenues of faith, new expectations for what God just doesn't want to do for you, but ultimately through you. That this is a moment for us to go back and be thankful for the fact that we have a Father, a really good Father, who loves us, won't give up on us, who's accessible, who is allowing, encouraging us to skip the line and come straight to the front. That now we have a mission. We have a mission. That prayer is all about us being almost like a wartime walkie-talkie. In the midst of the battle, in the midst of the fight, we're not running, we're moving forward, and we have access to a God who wants to give us everything that we need. And then ultimately, this is about us continuing to have our joy made complete. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for prayer. I thank you for the fact that we can talk to you and you talk back. God, Christianity is the only religion where you are not expecting us to do anything to get your attention or to manipulate you to act. That you are available right here, right now. God, even now, I'm asking that you would allow us the privilege of experiencing your forgiveness to remove weights that we've been carrying. Weights of guilt of when it comes to prayer. For some of us, we don't pray. And we want to, we just don't even know where to start. For others, you know, we've been in this rut where all we do is pray for our own needs. It's almost like we're just so overwhelmed and all we're doing is yelling at God for the things that we don't have. And yet this is a moment for us to just push pause on all of the ways in which we've done prayer in the past and hit the refresh button. So tonight, Lord, we want to start by thanking you that you're our daddy. Let's just take a few moments, and it might be good for you to go back to the verses that I put up on the screen about God as a father. Let's just pause. Let's just thank God that he's dad. For some of us, we hear that and we're like, Corey, my dad left me. I don't even know what that means. Isn't that just like God, though? To bring us to a moment where he wants to redefine what a father even is. He doesn't want to go up against any examples. He wants to just start from scratch. He wants to begin to download and imprint on your heart who God is as a father so that he can make you a father that you've never seen or had. Or that you can receive love from a father. For some of us, our daddy hurt us. Dad spoke a lot of nasty stuff to us. Lord, I'm asking that even now that you would just begin to renew the way that we even understand the word father. That we would receive you as a good father. A father who provides and protects. A father who is out for our very best. A father who will never give up on us. Let's just take a few moments and let's just go to our daddy. Just thank him that he's your father right now. Let's do that.